Today on Real Life Radio.
Do you remember when the Bible says when Jesus was condemned, he opened not his mouth? He had nothing to say. Why? Jesus was condemned. Why? Because I was condemned. And he stepped in and took my place at the cross so I can have salvation.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey, this is Jack Hibbs here, and I want to encourage you to get our brand new book, Living in the Days of Deception. This book is specifically written to help you and I navigate these very deceptive times. Here's a special offer. Yes, it is available wherever books are sold. However, right here at jackhibbs.com, if you order it here with us, you will get and only get right here 4 video teachings where I address certain aspects of the book with you personally. And so we look forward to you getting your own copy, Living in the Days of Deception, right here at jackhibbs.com, and you can get the 4 exclusive bonus teachings as well.
Living in the Days of Deception by Jack Hibbs is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/days. That's D-A-Z-E, days. Once again, jackhibbs.com/D-A-Z-E. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his new series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled One Church Under God, Part 2. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth. Now, this is a study on how to stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You see, the believers in Corinth had lost their focus, so Paul reminds them that the message of the cross is salvation, and it's what unites them. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that a united church will have the same Lord, share the same vision, and will keep the same priorities. Now with his message called One Church Under God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
One church under God. And what do we mean by that? I hope has been made clear. It's not one church under God, Calvary Chapel. It's not one church under God, First Baptist. It's not one church under God, Lutheran, or whatever you want to put on the name of your building outside. God isn't caring about things like that. He's not divided. The kingdom is not divided up into things that men create. And we've gathered together in this church this morning because we happen to be a location where by the state of California and by the federal government in Washington, they require certain attributes for the legal process of being a church and the name outside. But the church is not identified by the name that's out on the building. It's identified by the very God that we worship. It's the God of the universe who we identify with that makes our life meaningful for what we live and do and how we say and how we act. You will act like and become more like your God, whoever or whatever that God may be. So as we continue our study, follow along with me. 1 Corinthians 1, picking it up now in verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe and where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the things that are wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Verse 31, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. First of all, I got to tell you something. Is that not a mouthful? Is not Paul brilliant? You see, Jack, I thought God wrote the Bible. He did write the Bible, but he uses instruments, and God is using Paul's brain and Paul's expertise and all of his amazing learning. You know, ancient scholars tell us that out of all the students of the famed Gamaliel, in Paul's day, Paul was his student, and Gamaliel's writing in Roman history declares that he could not keep Paul with enough books before Paul became a Christian. He was a great student of the education of the world and of certainly of Jewish theology. And his own teacher, the famed Gamaliel, said, "Of Paul, I cannot keep in books." He was a brilliant man. You can get that by his writing. You can understand that. But God uses the vessel to bring the point across. And what a powerful statement he does. And church, we will go. I have intentions to get the 31st verse today. I don't know how far we'll go. This is too big a stuff. Would you agree with me on that? This is serious stuff. One church under God, mark it down, is vitally important. Number one is this. Verses 18 to 21, one church under God is this. We pick it up. It's point four from last week, and that is a united church will have the same message. A united church will have the same message. That's what we hear in verses 18 to 21. Paul is saying the church at Corinth, you guys are so divided by all your little personality cults. You're saying, as we noted last week, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ, and you're all divided. You're a church at Corinth that's filled with a bunch of cliques. You got your personality groups. Well, a church united is a church that has the same message. And you can't, listen, you can't be obedient and be believing in the same message if you're all divided up. Can't do it. You can say anything, church. I don't know about you. I think you and I agree on this now. I am sick of hearing what people say. I want to see what people do. Don't talk to him anymore about Jesus. Don't talk to him anymore about religion. I want to know, what is your Jesus meaning to you in your life? If Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, has control over my life, then you should be able to traffic around my life. You should be able to come home with me today and snoop around through my cupboards and snoop around through my drawers. You should be able to walk around and what magazines do I have at home? You should know that. What's in my cupboards? Cheerios, honey. I love honey. You know I love peanut butter. Well, Pastor, are you going to find beer? No beer. What are you going to find? My wife loves ginger ale. And I like Pellegrino. I love bubbly water. What am I saying this for? Because I can talk about God. I could be a Corinthian declaration that I'm speaking these things, but what does my lifestyle dictate? What does my lifestyle speak of? Is the message of the cross and is the message of Christ truly affecting my life, that the message is the witness of our lives? You know, last time together, just by way of review, check it out. If you don't remember, we looked at point number one, and a united church, we saw there, will have the same Lord. A united church will have the same vision. A united church will have the same priority. And of course, number four now is that a united church will have the same message. And what is that message? Look at verse 18. It's the message of the cross. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Church, jot it down, note takers. The word here to be on a journey or to be on a path is this word being saved, that we are being saved. The message of the cross is what accompanies you and I on our salvation route. We are en route. We're on a journey. And it's by the power of God. But what is it all about? It's about the cross. Listen, church, it's the cross where we find salvation. This morning is going to be extremely politically incorrect. It's going to be culturally incorrect. It has to be. You want to know why, church? I'm talking about the cross. You can't bring up the cross. Today, quote, Christians, close quote, don't want to hear about the cross. And yet there's no salvation without the cross. There's no hope. And Paul says it's all about the cross. And by the end of today, you're going to say, Pastor, I'm thankful for the cross, or Pastor, I'm sick of hearing about it. Right now, this morning, through this message, the cross will define where you and I are in eternity. And I don't say that lightly. The cross. Our message is the cross. The message of the cross exposes what's inside of every man. Those who are on their way, on the road to salvation, the cross is something that we embrace. But the Bible says here in verse 18, to those who are perishing, the cross is an offense to them. And I want to ask you this morning, what happens to you inside? Hey, listen, you don't have to come back to church next week. But for your sake, you should stay in the service until it's over. Listen, I get paid if you leave or not. So why don't you stay and listen to this all the way through? Because I'm going to be very direct. I'm going to be very passionate about what I believe. Politically incorrect, yes. Socially incorrect, yes. But let me tell you something. If you man or woman up and receive it, it is salvation for you. Because I didn't write this book. God did. And by the end of this message, I want you to hear a montage of verses of how much God loves you. And it's all because of the cross. There is no cross without the love of God. And without the love of God, there can be no cross. The centrality of the cross, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. That word is good news of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and for the non-Jew. The Greeks, the non-Jewish world. Mark Romans 1:16. He's saying the same thing to the church at Rome as that he's saying it to the church at Corinth. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. Note this. The gospel and the cross both equate the power of God. There is no gospel without the cross. There is no cross without the gospel. And without them, there is no salvation. It's that serious. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it's the image of the cross. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That is a first century term and an Old Testament term regarding crucifixion. Jesus went to the cross. He died on the cross for our sins. And the Bible says, cursed is everyone who hangs on the cross. It's interesting. I did a little research this week, found out something. You and I, at least I was, in the mindset that if during the Roman Empire, if somebody committed a crime, they were crucified. Did you know that was not true? If you committed a crime in the Roman Empire, you were sentenced to slavery, or you had to pay the bill. You had to go do a certain amount of time in jail. We have this concept in our mind that Rome just went around crucifying people. They did not. They went around crucifying after much judicial exercise. They came forth to a position of condemning the criminal. And even, listen, even en route to his crucifixion, that criminal had three opportunities to stop and plead his case again, should he think of something that was left out in the trial. You remember when the Bible says when Jesus was condemned, he opened not his mouth. He had nothing to say. Why? Jesus was condemned. Why? Because I was condemned. And he stepped in and took my place at the cross so I can have salvation. No, Rome crucified those who were hardened, brutal criminals. And Jesus was crucified. In fact, in the first century, it was considered improper to bring up the topic of crucifixion among friends because it was such a disgrace, it was such a horrible death, and it was the most despicable of all applications to such a wicked man. Nobody wore jewelry around their neck in the first century of a cross. Oh, let's go beautify it. Let's put a diamond on it, right? It's beautiful. It's jewelry. Not in the first century. It was condemnation.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
So the announcement is the good news, the gospel message is the cross because Christ died on the cross. And how can that be good news? Well, look at verses 19 to 20. Our message is salvation. A united church will have the same message, and the message is the cross, and the message is salvation. Note this, Paul uses the Old Testament Hebrew scripture to make his point. Verse 19, for it is written, he's quoting Isaiah 29:14. It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Oh, I can't wait to get into this part. And bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? And where is the scribe? And where is the disputer of this age? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The wise, mark it down, Bible students today, the word wise means expert. The expert in his area. Paul says, where is he? The word scribe is the interpreter. Where is he? Paul's asking. By the way, if you think verses 19 and 20 have a hint of sarcasm, you've missed it. He doesn't hint sarcasm. He's laying it on pretty thick. Paul is mighty in his apology or apologetics. Where's the expert? Where's the interpreter? I love this next one. Where's the disputer? You know what the word disputer is in Greek? Where is the philosopher? Man, you see Paul, he's got his robe sleeves rolled up. Little Paul, mighty heart. Where is the expert today? What have we learned from experts? Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the 21st century. How's it going? I'm an expert. Are you serious? Do you truly expect us to believe that you're an expert in something? We are a culture, we are a world today that knows a thin-skinned little bit about everything and hardly anything do we know much about a particular topic. We are a Wikipedia world. We are a 15-second snippet expert. It's an indictment against our age, and people will say to themselves, I'm an expert. Oh, really? You know what Paul says? You know what the Bible says about that? Bring forth the experts. Bring them. We have more experts today in America than we've ever had in American history, and our nation is more backwards than it ever has been. It's more messed up than it ever has been. Why? Because without Christ and without the cross, we bring in the experts. Somebody call an expert. And if we're so smart with our expertise, then why are there more teen pregnancies than ever before? If we're so expert at what we do, then why is the school campus one of the most dangerous places to be in America? If we're such an expert, we've got more books on marriage than have ever been written in the history of mankind, and marriage is in danger today. You would think by the volume of our books, even in our Christian bookstores about marriage, that it would be the greatest strong entity of the home in America, marriage. There's only one book on marriage that works, and you've got it in your lap right now. I don't need another book on marriage. I need to do what my book, the Bible, tells me about marriage. And I need this book to tell me how to raise my kids. Did you know it's the Bible that says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Don't make fun of them. Encourage them. Where'd you find that? It's in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, 5 and 6. You ought to read it sometimes. Am I being a little sarcastic? I'm trying to. I'm trying to be in the spirit of Paul. So we want to ask the question to our culture. When Paul says, where's the wise, where's the scribe, where's the disputer? He says, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Is that not true? So I ask myself these questions. How is our scholarly achievements affecting our culture today? Good, bad, or indifferent? What about your or our religious system? Has it affected our culture for the good or for the bad? And how has our philosophies affected our culture? Good, bad, indifferent? Well, he's going to address this more. Before he does, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, if somebody can't see it, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Have you ever met somebody who cannot understand the gospel, let alone tolerate it coming out of your mouth? Have you seen people? You can talk about anything and everything, and then you mention the gospel and their jaw sets. Have you watched it? If it wasn't so tragic, it would be funny, but it's terribly tragic. The Bible says, if our gospel bounces off the ears of people, it's because it's been veiled. They're perishing because they can't see, they won't see. Who the minds, the God of this age has blinded, Satan has blinded them. These who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us as an example or a pattern. For many walk, of whom I've told you often and even tell you now weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. This morning, my friend, are you an enemy of the cross? Or are you a friend of the cross? Only you can decide that. Nobody can decide it for you. But what happens when you see a cross? Why is the cross so hated in the world? Because of the cross? It's the cross that says, listen. Now, granted, if you look at it as jewelry, you'll see something different, I guess. I don't know. But what does the cross stand for? What does the cross mean? This is what I've heard over my years of being a Christianity and doing some bit of travel. What does the cross mean? It means a man died there. I'm quoting a taxi driver from Washington, D.C. He had a cross hanging around his mirror. I said, what does that cross mean? He said, it means that a man died there. But why did a man die there? The pathology of the conversation might go this way. Because Jesus had to be crucified there. Why? Someone might ask as they look at the cross. Because we need salvation. Why? We need our sins forgiven. Why? Because there's a heaven and a hell, and Jesus came to set us free at the cross. That's the message of the cross. Did you know there's a movement right now? How many of you have been to Arlington Memorial Cemetery or maybe Arlington West out here by March Air Force Base? Did you know there's a movement to have crosses taken off of tombstones and the crosses taken down from Arlington in Virginia? Why? Because it was said the cross is offensive. So then you take them down from all the hospitals. Did you know if you're going to go, you have a heart attack and you have cancer, where are you going to go? You're going to go to St. Jude? You're going to go to St. Joseph's? You're going to go to Martin Luther King? Where are you going to go? Guess what? My doctor, who as far as I know is not even a Christian, you can't go into one of his examining rooms, but there's the network that he's in, there's a cross in every room. Well, you got to take that down. Think about it. Why? Because the cross is offensive, is it not? Depends on what side of the fence you're on. When I look at the cross, I say there's hope.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called One Church Under God, Part 2. Thanks for coming along with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, this is Jack Hibbs here, and I want to encourage you to get our brand new book, Living in the Days of Deception. This book is specifically written to help you and I navigate these very deceptive times. Here's a special offer. Yes, it is available wherever books are sold. However, right here at jackhibbs.com, if you order it here with us, you will get and only get right here 4 video teachings where I address certain aspects of the book with you personally. And so we look forward to you getting your own copy, Living in the Days of Deception, right here at jackhibbs.com, and you can get the 4 exclusive bonus teachings as well.
Living in the Days of Deception by Jack Hibbs is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/days. That's D-A-Z-E, days. Once again, jackhibbs.com/D-A-Z-E. You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history. which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation, who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.